at the academic level more than before, because this is also, it's important, there is this academic sphere where very often the Muslims are absent. Is this changing, this level? What are the contributions Muslims are doing in these specific scholarly field?
I think there is a tremendous need for us to be working throughout the whole spectrum of interfaith work. At the scholarly level, at the academic level, perhaps it's due to my limited looking into it and finding it, I find that there's a huge gap there. We need
We need more
writings, for instance, particularly just a simple example, to make a case, to make a Muslim case for interfaith work, for instance. If we have scholarly works on that, which our communities can then access to allay their fears, to find encouragement to say our religion actually says interfaith work is good and we should do it. There's nothing wrong with it. And this is how we can do it, and this is how it should not be done, and these are the dangers and these are the positives of it. So I think that is certainly there is room for that. Having said that, the numerous international conferences that are organized around interfaith, the ones that I've had the good fortune of attending have had some very good Muslim contributions. The speakers there, the papers that are given at these conferences are of a top quality, full of spirituality, nothing of a kind of compromising Islam or diluting Islam, but absolutely confident in our beliefs. And these people have, men and women, have done great service to Islam in these circles.
Yes, and I think that something that we can see within academia is what the students are doing. More and more PhDs, masters on this topic, providing, you know, even the Muslims and people of other faiths with studies, research on this, which I think it's very important. This is new as well. Talking about different types of, you know, relationship throughout history, it's important. Let me come to the second dimension that you are mentioning, which has to do with the grassroots level. Once again, the perception from outside, and this is something that I was questioning myself, having involved for more than 25 years in interfaith dialogue, is to say we have circles or specialists that are not reaching out to the people. We need the people to be much more involved. Can you see at the grassroots level through the mosques, and we were mentioning this in the clip, in which way there is an intellectual revolution within the Muslim communities doing things? For example, as you were mentioning around the Jewish tradition and taking advantage of this situation, do we see something in Europe which now we are reaching? Because at the end, interfaith has to do with better knowledge, changing, living together, as you were saying. In fact, the most important goal is this one, is living together. So what is done at the grassroots level that could change the mindsets and the mentalities of the people?
I think our masajid and our mosques are the central point, and that is the platform from which we can do tremendous amount of work in repairing the image of Islam that is damaged by the media, that is sadly damaged by some Muslims who don't behave accordingly. This is the place where we can really revolutionize the whole attitude of the nation towards Islam and towards Muslims. Sadly, Professor Ramadan, our masajid, many of them are not yet open to this vision. And those that are open are few in number, but are doing their very best at full capacity. But just to imagine if every masjid in the country, small or big, were to open its doors simply one day in the year, even if it's just one day in a year, to the entire local community, to hold a simple event like, come and visit us, have some drinks, have some snacks, have some children singing nasheed and reciting Quran, have a little basic talk and tour of it, can build so much friendship. And we've tried this only recently in Leicester, where I live. A new masjid and a center is being planned. And from day one, our efforts have been into reaching out to the local community to say, we are your new neighbors, and come and meet with us. We are going to build a center, which is not only for us, but it's also for you. And we had, in the last summer, on a nice sunny day, in the masjid car park with the planned site, which is still a construction site. We put up some shelter for them, and we invited them. We had some snacks and all that. We had Quran recitation. We had nasheed singing by the children and explanation. It was wonderful. And just that one simple action has helped remove so many obstacles from the way, which these local neighbors might have been wanting to register. So it's about winning people over through our good character, through our Islamic hospitality. And if every mosque in the country did this, then the demonization of Islam and Muslims that we see time and again will not have an impact on ordinary people. I've said to many friends that I have a Hindu neighbor, a very old lady, she's a widow, and we've been neighbors for 20 years, and I've always tried my best to look after her. And she calls me my son, my son. Any problem she has, she'll knock on my door and I'll happily help her drop everything. I even have a key to her house and all this. And I say to my friends, I said, if this lady were to see anything negative about Muslims on the television, she will question it. Because she will say, no, Ibrahim is not like this. He's a good boy. He looks after me. And if all of us as Muslims did this with our neighbors, with our local community, if we go to school to pick up our children, to smile to the teacher, to say thank you to the teacher. These are basic etiquette. This is all interfaith to my mind.
And listening to you, interfaith is not only about dialogue, it's about behavior, it's good character, and this is something which is essential for all the people. And we can see that some are much more involved in this. Yet, don't we have to go further than that? When it comes, for example, you live in Britain, you know, looking at what is happening in Europe, looking at some of the critical questions that we are facing in so many areas. We are talking about medicine, we are talking about social sciences, we are talking about politics. Is there something which is done, and coming also from the Muslims, involved with the civil society, as to have this voices of wisdom by saying, look, when it comes, for example, to education, we might say, okay, we need our Islamic private education or schools, but mainly is, let us question the curriculum, the state school system, social justice. This is also something which has to do with interfaith dialogue. It's not only among the specialists, it is a public voice. And sometimes I have some problem not hearing enough Muslim leaders to just take the lead on that as well.
Yes, I think, Professor Ramadan, sometimes there is a need for us to work collaboratively as a group of religions rather than as a faith on our own, especially when it comes to faith and the needs of religious education. It seems sometimes Muslims are seen as the troublemakers. They are the ones who always demand special treatment, when that's not what we want. We want to be treated fairly. And we want to be given what is our right and the right of our children in terms of their education. So sometimes as part of strategy, and this is my humble opinion, that's important for us, rather than to flag it up as a Muslim issue, we flag it up as a faith issue. And in this country, if you have got the support of Christians and Jews, there's a tremendous amount of support there. And then the dharmic traditions, the Hindus, Sikhs and the others, add their voice to it, can be very, very successful. One simple example was, I know we move away from education, but when we had the security scanning machines at the airports, which not only for Muslims, but for any decent human being, was very worrying that your body could be scanned, revealing the anatomy of your body. It was very uncomfortable and unacceptable for us. So rather than flag this up as this is against Sharia and so on and so forth, what we did through the Interfaith Network, which is an umbrella organization of leaders of all the different religions, is to meet with people from the Home Office, to meet with people from the Office of Security and Counterterrorism, and to explain to them what our difficulty was. And I deliberately in that meeting spoke very little and allowed Christians and Jews to do more of the talking, because that I felt would serve our need far more powerfully than if it was me making a noise. So sometimes we, from the outside, we might feel that Muslims are not being active, but I assure you that behind the scenes, we are putting on the pressure, we are using our lobbying power, we are using those years of friendship to put pressure on these friends of ours.
Thank you so much, Sheikh Ibrahim. I think that, once again, in our discussion, there is something which is the starting point of everything, which is to understand the goal of interfaith dialogue. And as you said, it's not about converting, it's not about being converted, it's about living together and taking the lead to this proactive presence, which is necessary. And as you added, something which is important here is good behavior, good character is part of the dialogue. And the last point that you made, which is critical here, is that sometimes we should face some of the challenges of our society in Britain or elsewhere in the West as not only being a Muslim question, but a faith question, and let also others with us being involved and try to raise the right questions, because some are ethical questions that are not only Islamic, they are questions for all the people of faith. Well, that's all we have time for. Please let us know your thoughts and views on any of the shows you have seen, and here's the way to contact us.
We at Islam in Life would like to hear your views about the subjects that we discuss. We would also love to hear your suggestions for our programme, so get in touch with us. You can share your thoughts with other Islam in Life fans, engage in debate and find out how to watch our previous shows. Follow us on Twitter at Islam in Life TV or join us on Facebook by liking our page Islam in Life on Press TV.
Finally, I would like to thank my guest, Sheikh Ibrahim Moghra. Thank you so much for your input and your wisdom. And I hope to see you next week, inshallah.